Well, we're continuing our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to invite you to open up your Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 7 again, verses 13 and 14. I've entitled today's message, The Narrow Gate. But before we get to Matthew 7, 13, let me just say that when Sherry and I were about to go off to Colorado Springs this spring for a little vacation, I had heard about this little boy who had died or nearly died or whatever it was, and he had this glimpse of heaven. I'd heard about that little fella. And wouldn't you know it, as we worked our way out towards Colorado Springs, we stopped in South Dakota one night, and I was watching something. I don't know, it could have been the Today Show or something. And lo and behold, here's this mom and dad and this little boy on this Today Show that's talking about the things that he had experienced. Now he's not this four-year-old boy anymore. He's 11 or something. But I began to listen to that little fella in the hotel room that morning and listen to that amazing story of how he had nearly died there. And I'm not going to give you all the good details. If you would like to read it, there's some books right back there. You can take one of them and you can read it. It's called Heaven is for Real. But I began to listen to this little fellow and how he had poured out over the next months. The things that he had seen and heard were amazing. It was just amazing. For example, he referred to his miscarried sister, whom he had never been told about. He got home, he come back in the flesh, and months later, he was talking to his parents about his sister. Not the one at home, the younger sister, the older sister that he'd never met, he'd never been told about. And it made his mom, at first, she was angry. Who told you about that? It hurt her to know she had lost this baby. They hadn't talked about it to anybody. And yet he said, it's okay, Mama. She's in heaven. She's with Jesus. And she's waiting there for you. And so he began to pour out, this little fellow, began to pour out things that nobody had told him. And as I listened to that and as I heard more about it, I thought, that's got to be a pretty good book. So I picked one up while we were in Colorado Springs, and we were busy enough there, but when I got home, I sat down and I read the whole book. Fascinating book. You can go on the internet and you can Google in or anything else, search engine, Heaven is for Real, and it's going to come up the same thing, and it tells a little bit about this little fella called Colton and the experiences he'd had there. And so I read this book, like I said, I'm not going to tell you a lot of the details because I think it's just an encouraging book, and I'd encourage you to read it. We got a whole bunch of them around here. You take one home and you read it, you bring it back and let somebody else read it. But there's one point that fits with my message today. There's one point there that I just want to mention. It stuck with me. This little boy, most of you know Henry. Henry's a pretty popular guy around here. Henry is my grandson. He's 3 years and about 10 months. That's precisely the age Colton was when he went into surgery. And yet some months later, he was taken by, and he began to reveal things to his dad and mama at this point, and they began to ask him some questions, and he began to answer them with profound answers. And yet one day, Dad, his name was Todd Burpo. He's a Wesleyan pastor in western Nebraska. And Todd had a funeral to do, and Todd took the whole family to church that day, including 4-year-old Colton. And they got into the sanctuary, and all of us know, because we've all been at a funeral, you walk into the presence of the sanctuary, and the first thing that you notice is the box. And he got into the sanctuary and he said, Dad, what's the box? And his dad began to explain to him, well, Colton, this is where we put the departed person's body. It's called a casket. And little Colton began to be inquisitive about that. And when he learned about this box, that there was in fact a person that was deceased in the box. He said to his daddy, he's four. Now he's the ripe old age of four. He said, Daddy, did the man in the box have Jesus in his heart? Because if he didn't have Jesus in his heart, he ain't going to heaven. He's four. You see, if you read that story, it's a wonderful story, and it has a lot of scripture in there that the pastor, Todd, puts into the book. And it begins to reveal things about heaven that go right along with scripture and begins to answer some things that you wondered about and weren't in scripture. And this little boy began to be upset in the church house that day. If the man didn't know Jesus, Daddy, he ain't going to heaven. Todd had to take him out. Had to take him out of the church because there was people there. There was family around. Little Colton kept insisting that if the man didn't have Jesus Christ in his heart, he wasn't ready to die. He wasn't ready for heaven. You say, Jim, well, that don't really mean a whole lot. And maybe you're right. Or it could be one more tangible piece of evidence that God is real and Jesus is who he said he was. I've been thinking about these verses for all week from Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And I've boiled it down to this. You know the verses. Tim will pop them up on the big screen for you. You've got your Bible open. It says this, enter by the narrow gate. Jesus. This is a directive from Jesus. This is not somebody arbitrarily just visiting and talking with the crowds. This is Jesus that says to us and the people that day, enter in at the narrow gate. Why? Because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. He said, this is a directive from Jesus. And I boil it down to this, friends. There are two gates, there are two pathways in life, and we've got to choose the narrow gate. Just like this little man said. Did he choose Jesus, Daddy? Because if he didn't, it's going to be too late. Life is precious. I've been reminded of that twice this week, very, very vividly again. And it's short. And Jesus said, friends, as he sat there on the mountainside that day, and as he says to us and the masses of the expanse of people today, enter in at the narrow gate. Because the other one is wide, it's broad, and many are going that way. And that road leads to destruction. He goes on to say in verse 14, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find that gate. You say, Jim, why? Why are there few that find that gate? Because that is how people are. That is just our makeup. That is just our nature. We're walking this pathway called life. I spent some time with a man. He's dying. He is on the very edge of death this week. He's younger than I am. Cancer will kill him soon. And I spoke to him at the hospital, and I've spoken to him at home, and I've spoken to him again at the hospital, and I've spoken to him again at home, and I told him about Jesus. And I told him about, at some point, our faith has to be exercised in Jesus. We have to realize Jesus is who he said he was. He is the narrow gate. He's the only way to heaven. This week, I spent some time with him again. And I said to him, how is your faith? Because he told me, Jim, I can't bring myself in faith to believe all this. And I said, how's your faith? And I began to read him some scripture from John 3:16, John 3:3, John 1:12, all kinds of scripture. And he told me, he said, Jim, if I wouldn't have got sick, I'd have never got there. but I'm there now. I realize what you told me in the hospital some time ago, that you have to believe. And I thought to myself, I got to believe or stop talking about it. And he said, Jim, I've believed in what you said about the Bible. I believe that Jesus Christ is real, that he died for my sin. I believe I've got to put my faith in him. But what struck me, friends, is he told me, if I wouldn't have got sick, if I wouldn't be dying right now, I'd have never got there. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. What's the narrow gate? Friends, forgive me for this, but it ain't baptism. It ain't some class. It ain't church attendance. It ain't giving your tithe. It's Jesus. The narrow gate is Jesus. Jesus has been the one that's paid the price. We've got to put our faith in Jesus and surrender our lives to Jesus. He is the narrow gate. And he said in his directive here, there ain't many finding it. Why? I asked myself, why are not many people finding it? Why does Jesus say the other gate is wide, the pathway is broad, and it's being bombarded with people? Why, I asked myself, are not people finding the narrow gate? Because after all, he said, the other one's leading to destruction. I looked up this word, destruction, in the Greek, to see what it really, really meant. The word is apaleia. It means ruin or loss, physically, spiritually, eternally damnable. Many are going that way, the Bible says. Jesus said it. Let me read this to you again in the New Living Translation. It really sheds some light on this whole concept. Here it is, Matthew 7:13, New Living Translation. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. Sheds a little light on it, don't it? You can enter into his kingdom only through the narrow gate. Jesus is the gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. You say, Jim, I didn't choose it. If we didn't choose Jesus, friends, we are on the wide path. That's what the Bible says. If we have not chosen Jesus, we are on the wide path. This is a good translation, but when it gets to this point, it might give us some confusion because it says, the highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. And right away we can visit and say, Jim, I don't choose to go to hell. But if we haven't chosen to follow Jesus, friends, we are on the broad way. There is no in between. Because he said, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. I boiled it down, friends. I told you this already. There's two gates in our lives. There's two gates to choose from. Let us go over for just a moment the facts from verse 13. The narrow gate leads to life eternal. That life is with Jesus forever. That's the facts. The narrow gate leads to life eternal. The narrow gate is not easy. The fact, the narrow gate has only a few that are finding it. Why does Jesus say the narrow gate is not easy? Is he saying it's hard to be saved? I don't believe that's what he's saying, but I believe what he's saying. There are lots of options that are going to be thrown at you, humanity. Lots of options for you to consider. Lots of things bombarding your mind. And so we're going to let those things carry us away in the broad way. And we're never going to get ready, and we're never going to enter in at the narrow gate because there's too many things bombarding our minds in life. There are options out there. You talk to all kinds of folks, and you can talk about all kinds of ways to get to heaven or whatever, reincarnation or nirvana or whatever else we're trying to achieve. There's all kinds of options being bombarded at people today, and we have to choose. That's why he says it's hard to be saved and not many finding it. People, we try to produce all kinds of ways to heaven. Jesus is reminding us here in these words, it's easy in life to go with the flow of the world when he says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, many are going that way. There are no restrictions. Broad is the way. Wide is the gate. There are no restrictions. It's just go with the flow. The narrow gate is not easy, friends. It's not automatic. It's not popular, but it's the only way to life, and you have to choose it. Jesus is real clear here when he says, enter in at the narrow gate. You have to choose the narrow gate to eternity, friends. You have to choose the narrow gate. You have to choose to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not born a follower. Because my parents were a follower doesn't mean I'm automatically a follower. Because I go to church does not make me a follower. You have to choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me wrap up. Our time is going. I was listening to a public broadcasting program a week or two ago, and the guy was talking about this gentleman that predicted the end of the world. Don't even remember his name, but you know who I mean. And this guy was talking about him, and he made light of this guy in eternity, in the world coming to an end, and he made reference to it, I should say, and he made light of eternity apart from God. Here's what he said. I'm probably headed towards warmer climate. Heard somebody else not too long ago say, I know where I'm going. They knew where they're going, and it wasn't to heaven. Friends, contrary to popular belief anymore, hell is no picnic. It's no joke. It's no laughing matter. And according to what Jesus said in these verses here, unless we choose the narrow gate, unless we choose to put our faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Him and Him alone will save me, will forgive my sin, unless we choose Him, we have not entered in at the narrow gate. I just read again last week when I was reading through Proverbs, in Proverbs 27:20, hell is hungry and never full. We have to choose the narrow gate. Let me close with one more reality check. Sherry and I were in the St. Cloud Hospital yesterday. We were there to see a good friend of mine. Matter of fact, he was my boss for a lot of years. He went to lunch on Thursday and his heart stopped. Had he not been within very close proximity of first responders and AED, he would now be in eternity. He knows it, and I know it. He told me it yesterday. Jim, I dodged a bullet again. He's already had one heart attack. And his heart just plain flat out stopped Thursday. And he told me yesterday as I was visiting him, I dodged a bullet, Jim. And we agreed that God must have a plan for him, or perhaps my good friend needs to enter in at the narrow gate. And God has given him one more chance. Why do I tell you this? Because, friends, we are one heartbeat away from eternity. One heartbeat away. When our heart stops and we draw our last breath, it is on to eternity. You may or may not believe in eternity, like some people I've been around in the last few days may not, but I believe it's real. I believe the Bible is true. I believe Jesus is true when he says, enter in at the narrow gate. There ain't any other way to heaven. We are one heartbeat away from eternity. Have you entered in at the narrow gate? It's the only way to heaven. Because if you haven't repented of sin and said, Lord Jesus, I do believe you're real. I do believe you're the Savior of the earth. And I do believe without you, I'm not ready. I need you as my Savior. If we have not acknowledged Christ as Lord for ourselves, we haven't entered in at the narrow gate. And so I just want to remind you again this morning, life is short. Shorter for some than others. And if you're not ready, friends, we're going to get to that in the next couple of weeks, what Jesus said happens when we stand at Judgment Day. If we didn't get ready, it isn't a pretty sight. It's eternity away from God. It's eternity apart from Jesus. It's eternity in the ugliest, most desperate place you can ever, ever imagine. Have you entered in at the narrow gate? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Friends, if you're sitting here today with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and you're not sure you've entered in, I want you to think about it. You might think, Jim, you're nuts. You don't have your facts straight. Well, that could be, but I know what Jesus said. He said, enter in at the narrow gate because the other way is leading to hell forever. And he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the narrow gate, friends. Your faith, your belief, your trust in him is the only way to enter into the kingdom of heaven forever. Please think about that. Father, thank you that your word is truth and your word is clear. Father, thank you that Jesus has done all the hard work. He's died for our sin. We just have to recognize, God, you loved us. You sent Jesus Christ to die for us. All you've done is ask us to repent of our sin and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. And yet there are so many things in life that distract us. There are so many things in life that take our attention. Or maybe I've even been told that my good deeds will get me to heaven. Father, we recognize the truth from your word this morning that says Jesus is the narrow gate. He's the only way to you. He's the only way to heaven. Father, help us to choose Jesus. Help us to cry out in our heart, even today. You know our hearts. You know every heart here this morning. Help us to call out to you, Lord Jesus, and invite you into our life, repenting of our sin, and inviting you, Jesus Christ, into our life. Help us, Father, to hear from your Spirit today if we've not done that, so your Spirit will guide us in all truth to know that we too can be your children simply by exercising our belief and our faith in the risen Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for everybody here. Continue to minister to hearts as we sing this last song, as we dismiss from here, as we go into the week. Continue to speak to us, Father, before eternity comes and it's too late because we haven't entered in at the narrow gate. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.